The Man in Line.
Six minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to The Man in Line today. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177. The latest information regarding COVID on the Isle of Man. There have been 14,495 tests so far. 14,477 have been concluded. That's 18 people awaiting a result. And 79 people waiting tests at the moment. And parliamentary business began again today. The keys of a sitting for the first time since June of this year. And how the world has changed since June. COVID-19 at the prison, the role of key workers, testing at the borders, all on the agenda. And you can hear all that on AM 1368 or your AM player as well. MHKs have had a three-month break from parliamentary business, getting back to gear. Two new members, of course, sworn in this morning from the Douglas South election, the by-election, Paul Quine and Claire Christian. Now, Paul Quine, MHK, Claire Christian, MHK, officially sworn in, covering issues such as the need for off-island welders to come and work on the railways. We'll find out more about that and whether key workers should be tested at the border and COVID-19 at the prison. And there's also the first reading of a bill which will pave the way for opt-out organ donation. Basically, you're in unless you opt out, with other pieces of legislation to be looked at as well. John Moss is on duty on AM 1368, as I say, via smartphone app and available online as well. And by the way, we've got a result regarding TuneIn over the past few weeks. Lots of people haven't been able to tune in and listen to Manx Radio on smart speakers in the UK. But you can now, after 3 weeks of chasing, prodding and cajoling the Silicon Valley giant that is TuneIn. We're now back on their services. The result of a court case brought by record companies Warner Brothers and Sony with reference to rights issues. So we've done all the paperwork and we're now absolutely fine on smart speakers here, there and everywhere. So if you're listening on smart speaker, then it's good to be back as well. The infrastructure minister this morning said 393 vehicles have been caught by the vehicle recognition system currently being used on Manx roads. Tim Baker, MHK, says this may have encouraged more people to come forward to make their cars legal on the Isle of Man. 393 vehicles with a UK plate or European plate on Manx roads. That's a lot more than I thought it would be. The Chief Minister announced a review of the rules surrounding the arrival of key workers on the Isle of Man today. It follows the jailing of five Doncaster welders. Do you remember those five welders that broke the self-isolation rules? So what has Mr. Quayle had to say? Well, Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper and the DOI Minister Tim Baker debated the issue this morning. This is what happened in Keys this morning.
Giving isn't easy when there's less for...
And we'll find out more about that in just a few moments' time from Tim Baker and Laurie Hooper.
Where key worker applications are brought forward, they will go through the process and they will be reviewed according to the criteria I've already outlined. And as I keep repeating, this wasn't an issue with the type of worker that came here, it was the behaviour of them whilst they were here.
Supplementary question, Mr. Hooper.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I think, as was alluded to earlier by the Honourable Member for Douglas East, the issue here is nothing to do with the type of work that was being going on or the fact these people broke the rules. The point is the system itself is designed to be robust in that we only allow people in who are absolutely necessary to come through the borders. The concern that is clearly being expressed in this Honourable House is that the Department of Infrastructure is not applying that very high threshold to these border exemptions, and actually a much lower threshold is being applied as opposed to the vital work on critical infrastructure it seems like we're applying a threshold that says if we need them to come in, if we need the work doing, which is much, much lower in terms of a threshold. So the Minister has made a number of references to the process that's been carried out. I know he won't have the answer to this to hand, but can he please go away and confirm that the exemption issued in this case was an exemption issued under paragraph 6 of the emergency regulations, underneath regulation 6, paragraph 1, which is the one that which the DOI themselves certify the work is vital and critical to national infrastructure, or whether this was an exemption issued under the later paragraph, which is subparagraph 8, which refers to the Chief Secretary issuing one, because again, the thresholds for both are entirely different.
Minister to reply.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and the Honourable Member is quite right that I can't give the answer here now, but I will commit to doing that and to circulating that to all honourable members. And I would strongly suggest that this is a matter that the review that the Chief Minister has already instituted will pick up, and will make sure that the rules going forward are very appropriate for the island's needs.
I just wonder what you think of what Mr. Hooper had to say. Is the system robust, and are you happy with the way that this is being carried out? Because it is being carried out in your name. So any thoughts on that? And remember, you can hear everything going on AM 1368 on Keys at the moment. That story, by the way, can somebody please keep a lookout for the TT scoreboard? The TT scoreboard has gone missing. Can anybody find it? The Department for Enterprise Motorsport team have confirmed the board featuring the map of the TT course has been stolen from the scoreboard structure on Glencrutchery Road. It went at the weekend. I wonder if you've seen it. I wonder if you know anything about it. It's not in anyone's shed, is it? The matter has been referred to the Isle of Man Constabulary, who confirmed that it's a criminal matter. They're investigating the theft. Just because it was going doesn't mean you can go and take it. The constabulary's advised that the removal of any further items from the scoreboard will be treated as criminal activity. This hit the headlines last week. Some parts of the main port, some of the main parts of the scoreboard will be protected and preserved by Manx National Heritage before going on display at the new TT Gallery in the Manx Museum, which has been earmarked to open year after next, 2022. Any items removed from the scoreboard will impact on the quality of the display and the public's opportunity to view the scoreboard at the museum in future years. The TT Motorsport team would like it back, if possible. They're requesting whoever took the course map from the scoreboard return it or advise the police where it can be found. If you nicked it, they'd like it back. That iconic map of the TT course has been taken from the scoreboard over the weekend. There's no such thing as salvage where that's concerned. If you know where it is, if you can lead us to find where the TT map is, of course, it's not something you can sell on eBay in the future. People may notice. The lockdown in Liverpool means that from tomorrow, Liverpool will be on the very high alert bit. Pubs and bars in Liverpool will be closed. Gyms closed. Leisure centres closed. Adult game centres closed. Casinos closed. It's on top of a 10 o'clock curfew and the rule of six. It affects the Isle of Man, obviously, simply because Mananan heads to and from Liverpool. Liverpool, very high alert. Ewan Gorn's been looking at this.
Not to travel in or out of the Liverpool city region, but how else will the changes introduced affect the Isle of Man? Well, we've got strong links with Liverpool, and for many it's the first port of call for both air and sea trips away. Currently, the steam packet is sailing only to Liverpool at the weekends via the Mananan, though there's only a few weekends left where that option is going to be available. The rest of the sailings are on the Ben to Heysham. Government has confirmed work to the new ferry terminal at the Prince's Half Tide Dock is continuing despite what's been announced today. In September, the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Baker, did mention that that work is going to be delayed. It was due to be complete next summer. It's going to be later on now, of course, due to the impact of COVID-19. When it comes to air travel, the government has restrictions, as we know, for those entering. But any changes to do with Liverpool John Lennon Airport are, of course, a commercial decision. So if there are any new protocols and processes there, that's going to be up to the airport itself, not the Isle of Man government. We'll keep you informed of those if we find out of any. And Manx Radio has also asked for comment from the government on whether any of the changes that have been announced in Liverpool will affect patient transfer services at all. And we'll keep you abreast of that as soon as we hear more.
Ewan, thank you for that. I just wonder how that bothers you, certainly if you have people in the family, children in the family, young people in the family who are at Liverpool universities, whether Liverpool University or John Moores, or further afield, obviously, at UCLan in and around Preston. It's weird. Everybody thought this was going away. It was on the decline, but obviously the lockdown in Liverpool, very high alert in Liverpool. Just wonder if you have a student, a son or a daughter who's at university in Liverpool, how you're feeling about that. You can text, you can email and you can call. The House of Keys, by the way, has been told that the parking area on the former bus station site, Lord Street in Douglas, is contract bound. Lots of people have been asking, with the paucity of parking around Douglas, with the promenade being out of action, that the Lord Street bus station be opened up for car parking. Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly was asked in Keys this morning if the area could once again be used for much-needed town centre parking. Mr Skelly pointed members to the moves to make other parking areas available around town, but Lord Street at the moment is contract bound. Text, email or call, you can get in touch. Lots of reaction regarding this. The TT course map was stolen, says Paul in Ramsey, in full view of police HQ. It's across the road. Did any police officer see anyone walking away with the course map under their arm? Anybody spot it? Anybody know where it is? Paul said the thief who took the item of the TT scoreboard must be a TT enthusiast. Who else would give a tuppenny toss about that piece of memorabilia? And Steve said, I know where it is. It's with the fairy lights. Stop it. The education minister this morning said that support's going to be given when requested to head teachers during the limited industrial action underway. He said the union had turned down a suggestion to postpone the action during the current COVID crisis. This education dispute seems to be going on and on and on. And who knows where it's going to finish, when it's going to finish, or how it's going to finish. And just a quick question to you as well. Have you been giving to charity during the lockdown? Many charities have been struggling during lockdown because they just simply couldn't fundraise in the normal way. But the Manx Solidarity Fund, which has paid out about £170,000 so far to those who've suffered during the impact of COVID. But has the focus on the Manx Solidarity Fund left the rest of the charity sector, the third sector, out in the cold? Ewan's back.
Giving isn't easy when there's less for everyone to give, and some charities have borne the brunt of that in these difficult financial times. Many haven't been able to fundraise in the usual way through things like public events and street collections. It's an issue felt by Crossroads Care, as CEO Jackie Betteridge explains.
I think funding is a big issue because obviously we had the Manx Solidarity Fund was suddenly taking or receiving lots of money from people, and that meant that the rest of us weren't. So that has been extremely difficult to navigate. It's also about taking responsibility, I guess. So each individual organisation has to take responsibility for itself. But if you want your charities to be there going forward, we need the whole of the Isle of Man's community to help us to be able to deliver that.
The CEO of Crossroads Care, Jackie Betteridge, while a director of the Manx Solidarity Fund, Peter Washington, gave this response.
I think the public give to who they want to give to. It's the public that decide. It's the public that put their hands in their pockets and pull it out and put it in the tin, in the collection box, or go online and donate. And it's up to them who they donate to. It's their decision. And that's the only thing that I can say on that, really.
But can't you see how the pandemic has focused everyone's minds? So the first charity cause they might think of would be something like the Solidarity Fund to help everyone affected. And maybe that does leave other charities on the island on the back burner.
I think other charities on the island are like everybody else on the island. We're living in a different world and everybody's got to adapt and everybody's got to change and everybody's got to, the way that things were going, you've got to look at the future and you've got to plan for it possibly in a different way. And you've got to be able to recognise that some of the ways that you've been doing things in the past aren't going to work. So it's about adapting to the situation.
One of the directors of the Manx Solidarity Fund, Peter Washington. To find out more about this story, head to manxradio.com.
Got a note in from Jane who said, Andy, it doesn't sit well hearing one charity appearing to single out another charity for their lack of funds. We all make choices where we donate our money and why we donate our money. I think it's bad form to moan that your favourite charity isn't getting a share. So any thoughts on those, whether it's the key worker issue currently being debated in Keys, whether how the government is handling the key worker issue coming to the Isle of Man, the Liverpool lockdown as well, and charities. I just wonder how much money you've given to your normal charity or charities that you support. Obviously, when everybody was locked down, it was very difficult. Everybody is having a little giggle about the TT map being stolen in full view of police headquarters. John said, I understand the reason that MHKs have a summer recess. It's back from back in time when it was an unpaid job done by farmers and hoteliers when they were needed in their business during the summer months. But now they get paid handsomely. Is this time off still appropriate? I think they'd say, John, that they do work during the summer. It's just that there's no meetings of Keys or Tynwald during summer. But we take your point. The TT map, says this correspondent, will be in Liverpool now. How? On the boat? Regarding the TT scoreboard, the thief is not necessarily a TT enthusiast, more like somebody thinking they can make a quick buck. No pun intended. I think the Liverpool COVID is due to all the Scousers celebrating winning the Premier League. Maybe. And how could the police not see the map being stolen? Says Les in Sorby. How... If you're just joining us now, the TT map has been stolen from the scoreboard. We all know the scoreboard's going. Parts of it are going to be preserved for Manx National Heritage for a new TT museum. But somebody's taken the map. And it's somewhere on the Isle of Man. If you look in your neighbour's garden, you never know. There may be something new hammered to the fence. It may be that. And the police would like to point out, please don't take any more. It's a criminal offence. You weren't thinking of doing that, were you? 23 minutes after 12 on the Man in Line today.
The chequered flag is ready. Across the line he comes. Nathan Harrison is the senior and junior Manx Grand Prix winner. Quayside Tyres and Service Centre deliver once again. You too can take advantage of the Quayside Tyre and Service Centre double winning formula, where they're used to delivering exceptional service quality with great attention to detail. Book online at tyres.im or give them a call about their doorstep or workplace mobile tyre service. Quayside!
Who can tell me the simplest way of buying car insurance online? Voice one?
Go to rossgower.com.
Go on, go on.
Choose your car, enter a few details and get an instant quote. You can buy online and print out your documents immediately.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Yes, rossgower.com is the best way to buy insurance. No question. Ross Gower Group Limited is licensed in Guernsey by the Guernsey Financial Services Commission.
For your new bathroom, head to Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Peacetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Peacetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
Right, Mike. great escape starts here. I'm going over the top in my new bespoke stairlift from Kissick Care, then hopping onto my new mobility scooter for a quick getaway down to the shops.
A mobility scooter from Kissick Care might not go that fast, but it certainly offers you freedom. Call 611 559 today to see how Kissick Care can support you, or visit them at Spring Valley Industrial Estate to see their wide range of products. KissickCare.com.
If a holiday is no longer on the cards for you this year, perhaps it's time to treat yourself another way. Redecorate your home with help from Swales Flooring in Laxey. Stocking trusted brands including Antico and Carr's Flooring, designed to last and impress. Swales are also the sole island distributor for Farrow and Boar, the traditional wallpaper and paint specialists. And if your home is already blessed with original wood flooring, talk to us about how we can restore them to their former glory. Visit the Swales showroom or call 861 542.
When it comes to construction components, more industrial doors, garage doors and front doors carry the Herman name. It's the leading brand for German design, engineering and manufacturing. Herman delivers quality you can trust. And partnered with the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company, you get a winning team for quality garage doors with professional installation. Choose Herman from the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company.
The Garage Door and Gate Automation Company. 624-122.
On Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, you're very welcome to join me for Shachley, where better to solve life's little puzzles.
I don't know, really, to be honest. It's still a bit of a mystery today.
Oh dear, perhaps not then.
So all of these things should be helpful.
Well, that sounds a bit more like it.
Or any people who just want physical or spiritual refreshment.
So there we are. What more could we want? That's all on Thursday evening at 6 in Shachley.
Food business operators just need to meet the minimum legal standards.
27 minutes past midday on Manx Radio. The minimum legal standards. The minimum legal standards for food hygiene on the Isle of Man. Should food outlets on the Isle of Man display what they call a food hygiene rating? The Manx government wants your view as it seeks to introduce a rating system, which it's been in place. If you've been in the UK, it's been in the UK about 10 years. You go into anywhere that serves food and there's kind of stars in front of you. A rating of 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 stars. A rating of 5 stars means very good. 0 indicates a need for urgent improvement. Do you think it's something that we need on the Isle of Man, this rating for places that serve food? I just wonder, have you ever been into a place on the Isle of Man where you thought the standards of hygiene were poor? Is it something you've ever raised with the people who run it, whether it's a cafe, restaurant, shop? Anything, somebody who serves food. What do you think about it? Oh, and John Dowling dropped me a note. I've been talking recently about the fact that the decline in numbers of gulls in the Irish Sea. And John said perhaps the seagull decline is due to the huge numbers of windmills in the Irish Sea. And he sent me an enormous 7 megabytes of information about it. John, thank you for that. Try and call us, John, and tell us all about it. You're probably explain it far better than I. I would have thought the scoreboard will have a lot of meaning to a lot of scouts who worked hard. It was the only way of seeing the races, says Sue. I don't think the scouts has nicked it. But Sue, if anybody spots the TT map, by the way, please tell us all about it. I think the little people have taken the bits from the TT scoreboard so that the little people can start their own TT. What, by the Ferry Bridge? Not that I agree with thieving. What's going to happen to the TT map? Is it going to be put in a skip? Was it going to be put in a skip, perhaps? Well, it was fairly iconic. I would imagine they would have done something about it. Perhaps CCTV footage? Any CCTV knocking about the grandstand? The culprits can be invited to give it back. If you spot the TT map, we'd love to know where it is. Not just food hygiene, by the way, it's understanding hygiene in general. Just after lockdown was lifted on the island, says Eric, I visited a pub for a light lunch. The food was excellent, but not the tables. It was a hot day. It was really hot in the summer, wasn't it? So I had short sleeves on. And when I put my wrists on the wooden table, they stuck to it. Oh, dear. my wrist stuck to the table. The waitress was wiping vacated tables with a damp cloth, but on close inspection there were black marks in the grain of the wood, which I could only think was grease. This was after lockdown. So, ratings for hygiene on the Isle of Man. If you're involved in selling food, maybe in a cafe, in a restaurant, would you be happy with this? It's a rating, I suppose. Who knows who's going to police it? Who knows who's going to award it? Whether or not it'll be free, a rating of 5-star means good, 0, urgent improvement. The head of the environmental health people, Glenn Backer.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
If you think we should be having this, by the way, if you think we need a hygiene system, have a listen.
Food business operators just need to meet the minimum legal standards. We're not asking them to meet more than legally that's already legally required of them. And it will enhance their business because it will give them the opportunity to promote that they are hygienic premises. If they're doing what they should be doing, they'll get a high rating. And the rating system is from 0, and that's a business that's not very good, to 5 being somewhere that's got outstanding food hygiene practices in place.
Nobody's going to want to be at the bottom of that scale. So is it actually going to improve things from the bottom up?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the businesses out there, and that's the majority of businesses, that are performing well, they will be able to display their 5-star rating, their 5 rating with pride, you know, and it'll show the consumers, it'll give confidence to the consumers that they can, that they know the last time that I was inspected that the food hygiene standards are high. So the guys out there, the small minority that might not be performing, hopefully that's going to drive them up to improve their standards. And let them self-regulate their hygiene standards.
And for the consultation, you're wanting, I assume, the industry to speak, but also, I guess, the public too.
Absolutely, yeah. We want to get the views of the public, and we want to get the views of the consumers. This is the initial stakeholder consultation. We went to the food festival a few weeks ago, and I went there as well, and we spoke to the public there and got some really positive feedback. And one of the key things that I went away with was a lot of people that had maybe come back from university had when we interviewed them, they said, you know, I thought this was already in place because while we're in the UK, we actually use this frequently to make a decision of whether we're going to eat out or not. So we want to give the consumers the confidence that where they eat, they know that the hygiene standards are high. And there's never really been a time like now where people need that confidence when they go out to eat. So we want to make sure that they're protected. And we want to make sure businesses that are performing well, they can promote that and they deserve to get that rating.
Well, the government's put this out to consultation, but what do you think of this?
So, as we've just heard, across, people apparently use this food hygiene rating on display voluntarily at present in England, but legally required in Wales and Northern Ireland, as a guide to whether they do or don't use that business. Many people already use a personal version of the rating. When you walk in and look around, you take in certain things that you might feel illustrates the cleanliness and hygiene of an establishment. If you don't like what you see, chances are you'll then look for the door. Unlike a major city, though, in the UK with hundreds of restaurants and cafes, this island is a close community, and if an establishment starts being talked about in those terms, its future may well be uncertain. These are not the easiest times for restaurants, takeaway cafes, pubs, hotels, schools, any place where people can eat in or take out food. For some time, the island has been able to relax its COVID watch, and the public have been able to, within certain guidelines, resume normality. But how is this proposed measure coming up now in the consultation stage being received? Many places openly display their cooking facilities to the public and are proud of their standards. But I found some concerned about how the checks might be carried out and over what period. Any establishment can alter during its day from being very quiet to being crammed. Would an officer spend an entire day there to get a balanced view? One manager wondered.
A bad idea, and the people should come in here and look for themselves first, and then they can give an opinion.
So they should be here for an entire day and see you. And should a lot of customers, a few customers.
Yeah, they should be here for an entire day and see what's happened afterwards, and then you realise what kind of rates you can give it to people or not anyway.
Do you think it'll make any difference to your trade having one of these signs?
In my dose, anyway, this is a trade that's been here for a long, long time anyway. People knows what they're going here anyway. It's a very old business, this one, anyway, so people come in and they know what they want anyway. I don't think the effects the rates. And maybe for new customers, it will affect. But for old customers, I don't think they know anyway.
The consultation is aimed at people working in the food industry as well, those who produce the items that end up in restaurants and cafes. The consulting process ends on November 26th.
I just wonder what your thought is about this. Compulsory in Wales, compulsory in Northern Ireland. Time for it on the Isle of Man. Have you ever been in anywhere on the Isle of Man that is, you know, just a bit mucky? Have you ever been concerned about standards of hygiene on the Isle of Man? Text, email, or you can give us a call, by the way. Or a note in that just said, Andy, the map of the TT course from the grandstands on the wall of a garage up at the top of the White Bridge in Onchan. Is it really? John's with us. Good afternoon, John.
Faster than I would, yeah. yes, birds and their demise. We do seem to be very very down on our especially our seabirds. And I did copy you an article on a possibility, or maybe even a probability, that now the Irish Sea has got so many windmills that it's quite possible that or even quite probable that the fatalities caused by these birds getting tangled up in these things could be a very large proportion of the ones that have gone missing. Shall
and
we
this
say.
is this the Manx the Bird Atlas has put this together? Who's put the numbers together?
We don't know. We don't know what. Yes, it is the Manx Bird Atlas, and the drop in seagull numbers is or seabirds we should say is has been quite dramatic, and it's only of late, and it's more or less coincident. Of course, coincidence doesn't mean that it's causation, that with the growth of so many windmills in the Irish Sea. The article or the paper I sent to you does show this very 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 well, where birds, especially large birds, raptors and such, are very prone to be killed by... I mean, these blades are going at 200 miles an hour, and so a slow-moving bird won't have much chance to get out of the way.
Now, you say this, is the Walney Farm, is that the world's biggest offshore wind farm?
At the moment, of course, they're putting more of these things in off the east coast of Scotland, and that's going to be the biggest wind farm ever. So one wonders what figures we might get out of that for the decline in seabirds. Of course, on land, there's a lot of birds that are actually killed. In fact, a guy went to an onshore wind farm early in the morning, and there were dead birds scattered all over the ground. But of course, this is bad publicity, because these are supposed to be clean and environmentally friendly. And it's at about 7:30 in the morning, a pickup truck had arrived, and the operatives started shoveling all these dead birds into the back of it, you know, cleaning up, so that if anybody wandered past later in the day, they wouldn't actually see them. Bats as well, of course. Bats are very prone to death and injury by rotating wind turbine blades.
So, John, how sustainable is this? I mean, some of the figures look horrendous. Herring gulls down 82%, the European shag down 51%, razorbills down 55%. That doesn't seem statistically sustainable.
Well, no, indeed. We don't know if these huge wind farms are doing it, because there's no evidence, of course. If a bird is killed out at sea, then it falls in the water and then sinks or is taken by scavengers. So you can't actually do a count of the numbers. Now, what is also extremely concerning is that Boris Johnson, in his wild enthusiasm, thinking quite mistakenly that the UK can be powered by the output from windmills, whereas if you have just high school mathematics, you can work it out pretty quickly that it's actually absolutely completely impossible. Wants to have four times as many windmills. And then also our government here, with its climate change bill, that envisages having windmills in the IRSC. The windmills, generally power generating windmills, seem to have a license to kill birds, whereas anybody else, if you kill birds by your activities, would be quite properly censured. The windmills seem to get away with it.
Well, as you say, there's the Walney Farm one, which is 40-odd miles from the Isle of Man. There's also, I think, the other one off the Wirral, isn't there? Burbo Flats in Liverpool Bay. And there seem to be loads of them there as well. The offshore wind farms just seem to be growing exponentially. There's talk about, and there has been for years, talk about an onshore wind farm on the Isle of Man. Are you for or against that?
Diametrically opposed. Not only the visual aspect of it, but the damage it will do to the environment with thousands of tons of reinforced concrete put into our peatlands. The cost, of course, these things don't pay for themselves. But by and large, all the materials for them, concrete, cement, steel, is all mined and produced using fossil fuels. The blades aren't recyclable. They have to be buried in landfill. The sheer concept of trying to run a modern society which requires electrical power 24/7, 365, with the power which is weather dependent, is laughable, really, if it wasn't so serious.
Well, the article you sent me, written by Jason Enfield, contains a couple of sentences that I'd never read before, and it says wind energy companies flaunt their green ideologies for all to see, but wind energy hides a grim reality that this green energy kills wildlife. Do you believe that?
Well, the evidence is there. As I mentioned about the chap who went round the wind farm early in the morning, saw all the carcasses laying around, and then which were then quickly cleaned up to maintain the image of the wind farm as only beneficial. Bats are killed by the pressure. You felt a motorcycle go past you during the TT, and you feel that shockwave. Well, that's the same with windmill blades. They create a shockwave, and this actually bursts bats' lungs. And why are the bats near the wind farms? Because they collect insects. Once again, if you take a TT analogy, you can see TT bikes with insects smeared all over them. And this is the same with windmills. Insects are smeared on the blades, and then the wildlife comes after them, and then suffer themselves.
Okay, John, it's always helpful that you come on and talk about this. Keep us informed of this, would you?
I will indeed.
All right, thanks for being with us today, John.
I'll let you know.
Okay, good to talk to you. Andrew's with us now. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Oh, hello. Thanks for speaking to me. I just wanted to, you've been talking about road safety in recent weeks, and my observation is that they need to get the paint pot out. There's so many stop signs, white lines that are just fading, and I'm just wondering what the DOI are going to do to it.
Whereabouts in particular have you spotted this?
Well, it seems to be, you know, all around the island. I've retired now, so I'm out and about through the day, and just, you know, there's numerous stop signs that are fading, there's white lines that are very poor, and I just think that would help with the safety rather than the reducing the speed limit.
Well, also the clocks go back a week on Sunday, so dark nights are going to be with us, and you need that paint.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd raise it with you, just to a little diversion from COVID this morning.
All right. Thanks for calling us today.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a quarter to one. Thank you, Andrew. We need more road paint out there. If you spotted anywhere near you that is a little faded, then do get in touch and report if you think the Department of Infrastructure needs to be out there. Text, email or call. Food standards, you only need one. Either it's acceptable or it's not, says Sean in Ramsey. This is the thought that we should have that five-star system. MHKs want to have their extra payments included in their salary rather than extra payments. Does this mean the extras will become pensionable? Says John in Onken. This is a story about MHKs, whether or not they'll take away the bonus that comes if they work in a department or become a minister, and it'll just be given as a flat salary increase. More to come on that as well. Virtually every place we've eaten has been exemplary on the Isle of Man. One or two coffee shops on Strand Street leave a little to be desired. I don't know about you. I always kind of half close my eyes when they bring that yellow sponge around to do the table.
Download the Manx Radio smartphone app for free from your app store.
A note in, this is from Rob, says, I think Peter, this is Peter from the Manx Solidarity Fund. I think Peter sounds a bit defensive. It's only right to recognise that the Manx Solidarity Fund has been everywhere and they've had much more publicity than other charities in this year. It's a shame the other charities haven't had the donations they would usually get this year, but there's been a definite difference between what they would be allowed to do normally and what they have been able to do. It seems a bit petty not to acknowledge that point and just to argue the toss and push the blame onto the public. Well, this year has been notable in many ways. Weird, peculiar, unusual. And for charities, it's been very difficult. Something to look at. 13 minutes to one, the man in line's in session. So where have you spotted road paint that needs touching up?
Despite dark nights and chilly weather, Miller Chaps will help you stay cosy for less. At the Miller Chaps Autumn Sale, we've great savings on stressless chairs with free leather care kits. There's up to 20% off Parker Knoll. Amazing savings on sofas and beds you thought you could only dream of. And free underlay on selected sumptuous carpeting. Plus many more store-wide reductions at the Miller Chaps Autumn Sale.
Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
Hello there, yes, it's Bernie Quayle here. No, I'm not coming back to Manx Radio because I'm too busy getting spoiled up here in Ramsey at Croven Court Residential Home. And I understand you could get spoiled too. As I've heard, there are a few places still available. Join me in getting spoiled with fabulous food, beautiful rooms, super friendly staff and excellent care.
Just call 610-121 to arrange a visit.
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers as graceful, aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine, hugging a majestic wooden structure looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
Set in a beautifully restored Manx barn, just a mile from St John's on the Patrick Road, the cafe at Close Lease Farm isn't just another cafe. With 28 Great Taste Awards, it's a real destination for lovers of fine food. Whether breakfast, lunch, functions or private hire, we celebrate Manx ingredients by using produce from Close Lease Farm and across the island. Also visit the farm shop, where you can buy some of our award-winning produce to enjoy at home. For opening times and more, visit closeleasefarm.com or find us on Facebook.
New pension legislation allows greater pension freedom for Manx residents. Come and talk to Blackford Financial Services. We'll give you information about your specific pension options and how this may affect your retirement planning. To find out more and to arrange a no-obligation chat about your pension arrangements, call Blackford Financial Services on 627 674 or visit online at blackfords.im. Blackfords. Retirement planning made easy.
Motorcycling. Let's be honest, it's in the island's blood. Become part of the story with start-to-finish motorcycle training courses, from beginner to refresher and much more. Beginners learn on the new Z125 Kawasaki, supplied by Kawasaki dealership Jason Griffiths Motorcycles. Search Facebook start-to-finish IOM or contact Ben on 569 653. And when you're ready, visit Jason Griffiths Motorcycles on Balfane Industrial Estate, Ballasalla.
This is the Isle of Man talking.
10 to 1.
The man in line.
And here's Sid with us. Good afternoon, Sid.
I've changed my name. That would be Steve, actually.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing, mate? All right.
Good, thanks.
Just a quickie. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times the clocks are going back in a couple of weeks' time and what have you. I drive around the island quite regularly and what have you, and I'm very concerned about some of the children now who tend to think the zebra crossings are a pavement. They just walk out, looking at the phones, listening to the phones. They need to stop and actually wait till the traffic stops to let them cross. With the dark nights coming now, do you not think it'd also be an idea to have yellow fluorescent jackets?
And also, do you remember once upon a time that police used to go around schools giving road safety tips, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's happened to me on a number of occasions now where they just don't respect those zebra crossings. They just walk out, you know, and somebody's going to get hurt one day.
And also, let me throw my two penneth in as well, Steve. The number of people who wear earphones and just wander out into the road, not even on a crossing, just off a pavement.
Yeah, and, you know, somebody is going to get seriously hurt. I think the message needs to come from the schools to say to them, you know, just be careful, you don't have right of way on a zebra crossing. You have to wait. Simple.
Important. Okay. All right, thanks for calling us today.
Super.
All right, good to talk to you. 9 minutes to one on Max Radio. The clocks go back a week on Sunday, 25th. 2 o'clock in the morning becomes 1 o'clock in the morning. You get an extra hour in bed. It's just darker. It's just and also that's the week that half term ends. Half term ends Friday, 23rd, a week on Friday, and the clocks go back a week on Sunday. Incidentally, the steam railway and the electric railway are working during the half term as well. If you're looking for something to do, zebra crossing and the protocols around zebra crossing, some people don't quite understand. Isn't the law that you have to put your foot on the zebra crossing and then it's yours, or do you have to wait? A note straight in on crossing protocols as well. This is Simon, who says, Andy, my bugbear is people who, when you go to a crossroads, and I'm a driver, when you go to a crossroads, people who cross the road diagonally and go from one point diagonally across the road. You're not allowed to do that. Apparently you have to go across one portion of the road and then the other. You're not allowed to go diagonally across the road. Alan said, hygiene improved massively in New York when ratings were displayed in front windows of eating establishments. And thank you, Phil. Phil Edge said, Andy, regarding charity donations, the Isle of Man charities I support have continued to receive my, albeit small, donations. New ones have appeared and haven't been ignored, but I've waited until they've announced where the money received has been distributed and will make a decision later whether to support it or not. Then there are some that are UK and worldwide. I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole because very little goes to where it's publicised, says Phil. I just wonder where you make your decision as to exactly where you will give money to charity. And certainly the charity business, the third sector, has mushroomed in the past 20, 25 years, hasn't it? I believe the NASUWT union rep stood in the general election without success. Perhaps the continuation of a dispute with education is a way to wield political power. Well, certainly one of the union leaders, I think, has stood twice for Keys as well. If you're the person who took the TT map, I will buy it back off you, says that correspondent. Has the TT map ended up in the same household as other TT merchandise, I wonder, purchased at auction some years ago? Well, I think that TT stuff was legitimately in the auction. I know how to find the scoreboard. We need to ask the woman who was on the phone the other day. She's never wrong. Oh, that was Diane, wasn't it? Never, ever wrong. I think the map has been taken as a prank to embarrass the police and will turn up, says James. If you're just joining us, new readers start here. The TT map has disappeared from the scoreboard opposite the grandstand, the scoreboard that's being decommissioned. Somebody's nicked the map. Jane dropped me a note. Displaying hygiene standard is important and I look forward to it. I just wonder if you've ever been in a place, a cafe or a restaurant on the Isle of Man, and walked out because of the hygiene. The food hygiene proposal is a great idea. You can't see the kitchens when you go out. This will provide reassurance and enable restaurants to show how well they approach hygiene practices. A brilliant idea. This is the Hygiene Star System, Brian in Castletown. And Jay dropped me a note, said, Andy, I'm horrified at the number of food outlets which are increasingly allowing dogs in. Really? Recently, I'd cause to raise the issue of hygiene when a cafe in the north allowed a dog to sit on a seat and its owner fed it from her plate. The cafe owner didn't seem to understand what my concern was. Not everyone wants to share their eating space with animals. This could be addressed in food hygiene regulations. That's it. Gotta go. Gotta go and blow. Say ta-ra. The Man in Line's going to be back tomorrow at 12 midday. And if you want to get in touch in the meantime, text, email maninline@manxradio.com, call 682-631. Love to hear from you. Any thoughts on food hygiene, whether people are approaching zebra crossings properly, pedestrians and perhaps vehicle drivers, faded road paint and anything else that's on your mind. Get in touch. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern, has been by the big switch. And I'll be back tomorrow at midday. Howie and Christy on the way with Late Lunch. Have a lovely day.
WINT.